Welcome to Those Who Can't Do. I am Andrea Forkum, and I am so excited about the episode we have for you. Today, I am talking to Gabe Dannenbring. And before we get into that, I have to tell you a little story about something that I heard this week. And it was not my experience specifically. My husband is in PA school right now, and he was talking to one of the medical students who, by the way, we got permission to share the story from the person who told it. But he's working with all of these medical students. And this particular medical student shared that when she was in high school, she's like very, you know, she's a typical medical student in that she's always wanted to be a doctor. So she told all of her teachers that they all knew she wanted to get into medicine. And she had a teacher who was expecting. And that teacher apparently went out on maternity leave during the semester and was only gone for, you know, 6 weeks during the middle of the school year and came back still during that same school year. But when this teacher came back, apparently she brought a little like igloo cooler with her. And she went up to this student who at that point was a junior in high school and said, "Hey, I know that you are really interested in getting into medicine, so I brought you something." And in the cooler, she had brought for this student her placenta. And apparently she was so uncomfortable. And at that point, she like didn't know how to advocate for herself or anything. So she was just like, "Oh, thank you so much." And she took the igloo cooler with the placenta in it. And I asked, because of course, I'm like, "Did it stink? Because it's like fresh meat." Like, I was like, "What?" But apparently she had had it in some sort of liquid to preserve it. And so apparently she took it to the biology teacher, and the biology teacher then put it in formaldehyde, and they kept it in a jar in the bio classroom. And like for that, now in perpetuity, there is just a actual human placenta in that biology classroom because that teacher decided to share her placenta with a student, which, you know, I love a giving sacrificial teacher. We love that. But you probably do not need to go that far in your teaching practice. One of the reasons I'm telling that story is we get our own little peek into Gabe's experience with the miracle of life, we'll say. Gabe is an incredible content creator. He has almost 2 million followers between his different platforms. You're going to see him on TikTok and on Instagram. He's a middle school science teacher. I am so excited for you guys to hear our conversation today. Let's get to it. All right, welcome to Those Who Can't Do. And today I have the very funny Gabe Dannenbring here with me. Gabe, thank you so much for coming.
You know what? I'm just happy to be here. I'm so happy to be in a workspace where I'm not getting bullied by a bunch of adolescent teens. It doesn't smell funny in here. I'm not getting called a jerk. Well, yet.
Right.
So yet. I'm happy to be here. I'm pumped.
Yeah. And it's only been like an hour since you were actually with your middle schoolers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I left the school at about 4:20-ish and I arrived here getting tech ready at about 4:24. So it was a pretty quick turnover. So I'm fresh right now. You know,
I'm
still hot from the day that just happened.
That's perfect. So can you talk a little bit about why you became a teacher, how long you've been teaching, all that good stuff?
Well, like most people, I became a teacher for the fame and the money. Like that, just kidding. No, initially when I went to college, I thought that I was going to be a doctor. I was like, let's go into a profession, make a bunch of money, let's have status, and let's go for it. And I quickly learned I was not smart enough to be a doctor. Like it wasn't for me. So then I was like, okay, what's the next highest paying career? And it was teaching. I was like, all right. So I made a big shift and I was like, all right, let's go into a profession that has a positive impact on society and is still doing something that I care about. So I always liked science, always liked anatomy. And then I was thinking to myself, okay, let's be a teacher. My dad is a teacher. He's been a lifer. So I've seen kind of the behind the scenes of some of the extreme positives as well as the extreme negatives that can come from teaching. My mom has a dance studio, so she's a teacher in her own type of way. And I just saw the impact that teachers can have and thought to myself, you know what, let's do that. Let's give that a shot, because I don't want to leave this planet and think to myself, what impact did I have on people?
Yeah. Yeah. So when did that transition happen? Were you already in college or?
Oh, yeah. It was like early on. My first biochem course, I was like, this isn't for me. Like this.
Yeah.
It was one of those early on courses. Like, yeah, it's time to make a change. And I had taken care of a lot of my like gen ed courses in high school. So I was able to change pretty quickly and change my path and then quickly kind of become a teacher. But what about you? How did you become a teacher? Like, I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I actually, so, you know, I taught high school for 9 years and I have actually a journal entry from my senior year of high school. And in the journal entry, I say, I really think being a teacher would be fun, but I don't want to be poor.
That's funny. That's funny.
I avoided it. Like I eventually, like I went into a communication major and I was like, I'm going to be
where all the money is, where all the money is.
Well, I wanted to be a radio host. I was like, it would be super. So very fortuitous that I'm doing this now with podcast.
Did you have a radio name? Did you have like a DJ name?
I did.
What was it?
So embarrassing. I was 19. And then keep in mind, this was like 2006. So, and my name is Andrea, right? It's not Andrea. It's not like a fancier version of it, but I decided it would sound like really cool to be called like DJ Drea. And so I have like one audio clip from when I worked on a morning show. I was an unpaid intern on a morning show, and I was called DJ Drea, and I would like come on and talk about like Hollywood gossip and all of that. And I was like, this is now I look back and I'm like, this is very embarrassing. But at the time, it was really cool because it was at like Channel 933 in San Diego, which is like a really big station. And it was with the morning show and all of that. But I very quickly saw like the people who were really successful at that field. I saw their personal lives and I saw like what it was costing them to be very successful on the radio and to do all of the events that they had to do and all of that. And so that kind of put me off from wanting to do the radio thing. And then I got married super young and didn't graduate college before I got married. And so while I was going to college to get an English degree, because that was the next thing that I was like, well, I like English and maybe I'll be like a travel writer or something. And
a travel writer. What is that?
I don't know, but at the moment that I chose that, I was certain it would be well paid.
That's like, a career. I'm a travel writer.
Yes. Well, you know, there's like travel bloggers and stuff. And I think in my mind, like that was maybe what it was going to be.
Yeah.
But I just ended up like working at a grocery store while I was getting my bachelor's degree and I was in charge of the training. So while I trained all of these 15, 16-year-old cashiers, I found that I loved that process of like teaching them, even though it was just running register. So then a few years out from there, I decided after failing miserably at being a technical writer, that teaching would be way more fun, even if I was in fact going to be taking a massive pay cut to do it. So ended up kind of transitioning there. Now, did you go straight from college into the classroom then?
Yeah. So I started working in schools early. Like I think I was 19 when I first started being in schools. So, you know, doing those early on practicums, and then I started subbing immediately. And I entered college with a bunch of credits already. So it was really quick for me to all of a sudden be eligible in the state of North Dakota to substitute teach. So substitute teaching pretty early on. I was doing like substitute para work. I was working as a tutor in the AVID program. I don't know if people are familiar with that program. So yeah. I've been in schools for a long, I mean, it's been, yeah, I say a long time. It's all relative. For me as a 26-year-old, yeah. I've been in schools since 2017.
Oh my gosh.
And I liked it right away. I really liked the community that I was in up in North Dakota and up in Fargo. The Fargo-Moorhead area was great. Shout out Fargo-Moorhead. And I kind of fell in love with the profession, just like a lot of people do. And you quickly realize it truly is a calling. I know this sounds cliche, but it is a calling. And you're either good at it and it's made for you, or you find the door pretty quickly.
Yeah, I agree. And so what were you only at middle schools or did you also do high school?
I started as a high school and I always told everybody there is a 0% chance I will ever teach middle school. There was not a chance in hell that I was going to do that. I remember as a middle schooler thinking, this sucks. Like, I can't imagine teaching some of these people. And then COVID hit and I needed a job and you can't be picky. And all the jobs I had lined up in Fargo fell through because the world stopped. And then on a whim, I applied for a job back in South Dakota where I'm from, got the job and then quickly kind of really fell in love with the job, but realized I kind of enjoy this. I kind of like teaching middle school. I think for a lot of young teachers, teaching middle school should be one of the first steps that you do. I think it's got to be really challenging for young first year high school teachers because I student taught high school and then like subbed in house at a high school. And when you're 21 years old and you're teaching kids who might be 17, 18 years old, that's hard. You don't have that age gap yet. And you also don't have the maturity gap and you don't have the classroom management best practices down yet. Like if you want to learn good classroom management, go teach middle school for a couple of years. I tell people all the time, you only have to be an hour smarter than the middle schoolers. My time is not spent on curriculum. My time is all spent on management. All it is how do you deal with behaviors? So now I've been at the middle school level for 4 years, 5 years, 4 years, okay. I think now. So what about you? Nice. I mean, where were you all spread out at?
So I did all 9 years in high school and you're absolutely right that like, and I started, you know, because of getting married and transfer credits and all that, I didn't start teaching until I was 26. So I was further removed than you were when I first started teaching. But even so, being in your 20s and teaching high schoolers is really tough for all of the reasons that you mentioned. And I was not successful initially, I very enthusiastic, not effective, I would say, at instruction.
So what does that look like? What does it look like to now say you were not effective? What were you doing that wasn't working?
Man. There were a lot of times where I was like 5 minutes before class Googling like lesson plans on TPT or just Googling like movies that I can show in journalism class, like stuff like that. That I was like, this is passable. I can do this. And part of it, admittedly, was because they just plugged me in to a journalism class. I didn't have a degree in journalism or experience, but I liked journalism. And as we all know now, I was going to be a travel writer. So I had experience in my heart of hearts that I was
You had a narrative in your head of how good you were at it.
Yes.
I thought it was a career.
Exactly. I thought it was something I could potentially do. So I ended up starting all of that. And so I mean, that was probably the worst job that I did was in the journalism class I taught because there was no existing curriculum at all. So eventually I kind of stumbled my way there, but that was the class that I left unattended while they were watching. What's that McDonald's documentary? You know, the one where the guy eats nothing. Yes.
Fed up.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was doing a quote unquote unit on documentary filmmaking. We were just watching documentaries.
That's great.
It's so mortifying now I think about it, that's what we were doing. And I stepped out of the room to go to the copy room to go make some copies real quick. And when I came back, the superintendent had stepped into my classroom.
Nice. Nice.
And this was the first year teaching, first time I'd seen her other than at the like big countywide orientation. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I'm going to get fired. Like my little class, and it was like a mixed class between 9th and 12th grade. So it was a little bit of everybody. And I left them unattended for 5 minutes. But of course, that's the 5 minutes that she popped in. And I got a letter in my file for that one. Now, what about you? Is there any like insane stories of things that have happened to you either at the high school or middle school level?
Oh man, the list goes on and on. Like there's so many things. Like it started early on for me of just crazy stuff happening in school. I remember when I was student teaching high school health, and this was a wild ride. I loved it, but it was a crazy experience. I one day was walking into school, and I had like, I was getting ready to go to school, got my coffee, got my little satchel. Like I was that 20-year-old. Like right. I got a work bag.
Right. Yeah. Not a purse. Work bag. Just, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So
like Indiana Jones.
100%. I was missing the hat. So right. I'm walking into school all confident and kind of got my teacher voice on, and the kids are snickering at me. I'm like, why is everyone snickering? Like, oh, funny day, I guess, whatever. And then all of a sudden a kid taps me on the back, and she isn't a student of mine. And she goes, hey, there's something on the back of your pants. And I had my teacher voice on. I was like, oh, that's weird. Did I sit in something? And she's like, no, you didn't sit in anything. She goes, your pants are torn. And I turn around and I completely torn my pants all the way up the butt crack, like right on the seam. And I was like just stuck because I was standing there walking with all these kids, torn butt and all. And
oh my
God. The satchel came in handy because I gave it a little swing and put it on the back. So then I think, okay, what do I do now? And I go walk back to my car, and somehow I had an extra pair of pants in the back of the car.
Oh, so
I
was like, God. Okay,
this is awesome. I'm going to go to the corner spot of the parking lot and then change. So I thought this was foolproof. Go to the corner spot. Right when I take my pants off, giant pickup truck, because we're in Fargo, North Dakota, parks right next to me. And he can
like
look
a nice lifted one.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. It was as North Dakota farm boy gets. And he can just look directly in, like, down into my car. So I quickly cover up because I'm not going to get indecent exposure while I'm working at a school. And I was like, all right, this kid's going to get out of his truck eventually here, then I can change. No, he waited to the last minute. So I had to call the office. I was like, hey, I'm running late. I'm in the parking lot, but I'm running late. And they're like, oh, what? And they're trying to put it together. I was like, I tore my pants. Like, oh, take all the time that you need. Because I couldn't go home because it was like a 25-minute commute back to where I lived. I quickly learned that all teachers need to have an emergency pair of clothes because you're going to have a wardrobe malfunction at some point. Like it will happen. Like, have you had any tough wardrobe malfunctions?
I have, but the worst part is I didn't have any students that were bold enough to tell me about it.
Oof.
Instead, I had a colleague who we all would like walk out at the end of the day together. And I was wearing a dress that was like, it was like green, kind of like lace kind of a thing. But then underneath it was like a beige colored dress thing underneath. Mm-hmm. And I wore a cardigan over it because of course I did. And
English teacher,
cardigan.
Because you're cold all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So as we're leaving, my coworker says, Andrea, I'm so sorry to tell you this. The way that the under part of your dress is like falling on you, it looks like you are completely naked underneath because underneath was beige and I'm beige. And so it just, and of course it like just fit in that way. And I was like, oh my God. Like I walked the entire day around wearing a dress that looked like it was just lace. I was so mortified. And it was so funny because the way he said it too was like, are you naked under your dress? And I was like, what? Like, we don't have that kind of a relationship, my guy. And he's like, no, I mean, like, it looks like there's not anything under that. And
that's
funny.
See, and the hard part with situations like that is when you realize something weird happened and then you start backtracking on the day and realize all the kids that were making fun of you. And he 100%. Didn't realize these kids were making fun of you. I had one time, classic, my zipper was down. And I'd gone an entire morning with my zipper down until finally one kid is like, Dan, bring your flies down. And I was ready to resign. I hated it. I hated how I felt. I felt so embarrassed to have a seventh grader tell me, bro, your fly is down. And like, when you have a room full of 12 and 13 year old kids making you feel stupid, that's a pretty low place. I don't recommend that feeling to anybody. But at another time when I was teaching high school health, this wasn't a wardrobe malfunction. I passed out watching the birthing video, which was a blast. It was
the
crazy.
Miracle of Life, that one?
Yeah, was it?
Miracle of Life birthing video?
More like the horror of life. Like, it was terrible. So I knew going into this, like looking back, I was a freaking idiot. I knew that I can't do blood. I can't do it. I suck at it.
As previously cited, when you decided not to become a medical professional.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why that was my first career path, but
yeah.
I turned on the birthing video and I didn't watch it before because I'm thinking to myself, oh, we're showing this to kids. It's fine.
It's like, going to be fine.
Yeah.
No, it shows like full crowning and.
Oh, it's everything. And of course, yeah. It was made in like 1993 where everything went by then. Like nobody cared. And I just remember watching and I started getting lightheaded. And then the scene that will always stick in my mind is the last, like the baby comes out and then the last little push comes out the placenta and everything else. And I just remember the next moment is a kid that's like poking me like, dude, are you good? Like I full on passed out, full on. And then later as the day goes on, I was like, I'm not going to watch this anymore. I'm just going to like be typing up on something. I had three boys come up to my desk and like, I don't feel good. And they had to leave. I had one kid pass out and I caught him. I caught the kid as they were dropping like flies in my room.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. But that does every phlebotomist that I ever talked to. They, like, I'm a talker. I like talking to people, and I always talk to phlebotomists. Like, hey, people pass out. What's going on? And they're like, the only people that pass out are young males. They are the only ones. And I was like, that's bull. Like, no way. Yeah, that's probably true because the only ones that passed out my class were young males, including myself. So that was a fun student teaching experience. It was a ride of a time.
My gosh. So was your host teacher in the room when you passed out?
Or were you by yourself? She was like kind of afar. Like she was like kind of coming in and out. Cause at that point I was just running the show and it was just like, boom, lights off. And I just like, oh geez. Like, oh, there's a baby. Like it was crazy. So.
In fairness, I have vivid memories of when we watched that in my high school bio class. And I remember somebody just yelling out like in such despair, like, oh dear God, there's so much hair. Because the woman is very natural. And so when the baby comes out, like there's just a lot of fluid and there's a lot.
Okay. Do you go like, this is nothing to do with education.
Do we need to have a sex ed talk game?
All right. Picture this, Andrea. Okay. You're sitting at this casting call. They're saying you're going to be famous, be an actor. And they're like, you are going to give birth on camera and it is going to be shown to millions of teenagers for decades.
Yeah.
What's your number? What's your price tag? Oh, be like, God. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll be the person that the star of the miracle of life.
Are we saying like if I had my real platform, like,
no.
Like now or previously?
Like you have
Will people know it's Educator Andrea's birthing video?
No, like you have no social media. You work your 9 to 5. You're just thinking, man, I could use some extra cash, kind of paycheck to paycheck. Like, what's that number?
I feel like I'd probably do it for 100K. Like if I knew, like it, like as it is right now with my platform. I get so many weird DMs. Absolutely not. Like, I'm not doing that. Uh-huh. I don't need to encourage the creepy DMs that I get. But yeah, probably
100K.
Somewhere. Yeah, I feel like that would be a fair amount, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
if somebody approached my fiance and I are like, here's the number.
Yeah.
50 grand. I'd say 50. Like,
you don't get to choose.
That'd be the number I'd throw out. I'd say, how can we say no to 50? But then again, right. I'm not the one spread eagle for teenagers all over the world to see a given
right.
birth.
Yeah. And so my husband is in PA school right now. So he has like rotations and all of that kind of stuff. And he, in one of his rotations, he had to go to a birth. And so he said this mom had like 4 kids, right? And you lose all your dignity when you have kids because you're spread eagle in front of all of these people. And so he was given a camcorder by this mom. And she's like, I want to see. Can you get down there and film it? And my husband is like, She's like, take a picture, right? And he's like, okay, all right. And so he like leaned over and like clicked a picture real quick and like handed it to her because he's so awkward, right? This was before before I had had kids. So this is the first time he's really seeing this in real life. And she's like, no, that's not close enough. Really get in there. And so he's like, oh God, all right. And so like he like had to take pictures because she was crowning and apparently had a very well working epidural and took pictures for her. And he said there was one point during that process that he started to get real pale. And the nurse asked, like, do you need to sit down for a second? Because he was about to pass out. And it always is. It's the dads watching. It's usually not like the moms giving birth that are getting ready to faint.
It's like, it's always us like wussy guys. Like we think we're so tough until it's something like that. And like, okay, I get why women make fun of us. I get why they say we do milk these colds because women are pretty damn tough. They're pretty damn tough.
Exactly. All right. So that is, I think, a good place for us to take a quick break. And then when we get back, we are going to hear about some of the surprise visitors that Gabe has had at his school before. All right. Welcome back. So Gabe, I heard that there was one time that you had a special visitor in your school.
A special visitor. I've had many special visitors in my school. Which special visitor are you hitting toward?
Well, there was one in particular, apparently, that broke into your school.
Oh, yeah, this one. Oh, I totally forgot about this. Okay. I was like, you're queuing me up perfect for that. And I was like, oh, yeah, which visitor? Because honestly, at first, my brain went to when we had the mariachi band come to class or come to our school. That was a great story.
That
we
also get into that sounds later. Awesome. Yeah.
Random, it was awesome. But no, so this happened a couple years ago. So get this. We had a meth head break into my school. This was nuts, okay? So this was heart of COVID, okay? So this was like, remember that spring when COVID first hit? This is then that fall. So in South Dakota, we were full throttle, baby. We were like, we're packed.
You were like, pack those COVID kids doesn't in there. Exist.
Oh my
gosh.
Oh yeah. It's like mask up and let's shove them in the rooms. Let's do it. So all of a sudden, and my room is way in the back corner of this school. It's an old school. So I can't ever see outside. I didn't have a window. Literally my room is a storage closet. So all of a sudden the kids start rolling in and they're losing their minds. They're like, what is going on? Mr. Dannenbrand, you should have seen what happened outside. I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, the cop was tackling a guy outside. It's like, who? And I like immediately start thinking of the students that like would potentially be getting tackled by the SRO. And I was like, what? Like, no, they're like, it's a man got tackled. It's like, okay, what is going on? They're like, he had a gun. I was like, what? And everybody else was like, no, he didn't. Like, you know how the story just keeps going and going.
Oh yeah, it just gets bigger. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, so the story just keeps building and building and building. And eventually we get the email like, hey, we're going to have a staff meeting at the end of the day to talk about what happened. And I was like, what in the heck happened? So in the staff meeting, the principals are talking, and rightfully so. It was kind of emotional because we had somebody who did break into our school, and that sucks. Looking back, hindsight, you can joke about it. But in the moment, it sucked. And they were like, somebody broke into our school. They walked in through the staff doors, and there was like a 15-minute window where those doors were unlocked. You didn't need your badge to sign in. And this dude was just going room to room. And at this point, we had any person that had a pulse was going to be a substitute teacher because teachers were gone all the time. Like, so this guy.
So it was like, he's a sub.
That's exactly what happens. So he's going room to room, checking out like what's going on in these classrooms before the school day starts. And everyone's just like, all right, this guy is a sub. Strange cat, but I ain't judging. Like, all right, he looks like hasn't showered.
And in fairness, sometimes you see some subs, and they've been through it. Life has not been kind.
Yeah, they're tough. They are one. They're tough. And so he's going room to room, and eventually a teacher catches him while he's going through like these files, and he's like tweaking out going through the file cabinet. And she's like, "Hey, do you need something?" And then he's like, no, I'm good. And never in a million years is it usually acceptable for a sub to be going through some file cabinets. So then she goes and tells the office, like, hey, that sub is kind of weird. And like, there's not a sub in there today. So so the SRO goes in and goes and checks on him. And the guy just bolts, just boom, gone, out the door. And of course, this happens right when all the buses are showing up, right when parent drop-off is going on. So this guy, the cop, tackles the guy in the front yard because he just broke into the school. Like, you can't let him run away. And like, they're wrestling. They end up like getting him down. Turns out the dude was tweaking out on meth. And then what was even worse is when the admin went back and looked at the cameras, he was in the building for like 20 minutes, just like walking around. And that means so many teachers saw this dude tweaking out on meth and they're like, checks out.
he's probably a sub.
He's probably a sub. Like, happy to have you here. Thanks for helping. Yeah. Listen, so that was wild.
We got real desperate during the pandemic for subs. There was not a lot of judgment. If somebody was a warm body and they were there, it was, was he masked up? Was everybody masked up?
Yeah, we had like a kind of a quasi mask rule, and
you know how masks went. Yeah. Well, so I actually, insanely enough, at one of the schools, actually the very small private school I worked at, we had a break in from a meth addict as well. But
hot spot for schools, apparently.
But the way we discovered him, it wasn't that he was like there when we arrived or anything. He would break in and he would bring pornographic DVDs with him and use the school equipment to watch his shows.
Wow.
And he forgot his DVD. And so
then, are you serious?
So one of the teachers came in and turned their TV on.
And Kim Superstar K is on the TV.
Yeah. Yes. Like a DVD. Like, this was not 15 years ago. Like, I was at that school 7 years ago. So like the internet existed. Like, he could have, I guess, maybe logged on as a guest on the computers, but I mean, I'm sure the firewalls were pretty good. But yeah, so he left his DVD. Wow. So then they checked the cameras and they realized that this guy, and apparently he'd been doing it like frequently, like sneaking into different rooms and using our computers and loading up and just.
Yeah, check the cameras about 5 seconds into the film. You're like, turn it off.
Turn it off.
We know how this ends. Circle of life. We don't need to know.
It was so terrible. It truly was. Because then, of course, I'm like looking at my desk and I'm like, why is it the way that it is? Like, trying to make sure everything's clean. Yeah, it was bad. And that, I think, yeah, that would have been pre-pandemic for us. So we didn't have the excuse of, oh, maybe it's a sub at that point. It was just...
Oh man, that's brutal. Crazy. I would like to know, like, I hope it was a teacher who found the CD. We're not even going to go there on that. That's tough.
I don't know the specifics of like what genre or any of that. I just know that it was illicit DVDs and my colleague across the hall discovered it in her DVD player. So it was a trip.
We had one time where we had a surprise visitor of a mariachi band that performed at lunch. And our, like, this is at the school I'm at now. And our principal, he is type A. If there's something that's going to happen, he's like, we know. We had a meeting today about something that's going to happen in 25, 26 school year. So he is on the ball. He knows what he likes to communicate. And we get this email at like 10 o'clock on a Tuesday. And he goes, hey, just letting you guys know, there's going to be a full mariachi band performing in the cafeteria today for like 3 hours. And I was like, this could either be really cool. Yeah. A South Dakota mariachi band. You don't know how authentic it's going to be. So, Yeah. So I was like, I got to check this shit out. Like, let me go see what's going on. And it was so fun. I had a blast. Like, this mariachi band was just shredding and all the kids loved it. And they're eating their school pizza and like all their school pigeon food and just loving it. And I just stood there and watched this mariachi band for a while in disbelief of how like talented they were, how fun it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need a mariachi band all the time. Like, it just makes people feel better.
Was it Cinco de Mayo or anything?
No, just Tuesday.
Oh,
just
okay.
A Tuesday. I don't know how I would love to know like the logistical side of that. Like, how did that unravel and all of a sudden the mariachi band is there? But man, they crushed. They crushed.
That's amazing. And at the school I worked at in Southern California, it wouldn't be that surprising. Like, there were a couple of times that there are these boys who would always kind of hang out in my class. And one of them decided he was going to ask this girl out. He'd been super into her for a really long time. He brought her 100 red roses. He had his friends bring trumpets and guitars. And he went into the quad. And this school has thousands of kids, right? This is not a small school. Mm-hmm. We were, I think, around 3,000 kids at this school. And he approached her singing with his friends, playing a musical accompaniment behind him as he sang to her and asked her out.
Do you know what he sang?
I don't, because I'm not bilingual and it was all in Spanish, but it was beautiful. It was so good. And sang her this beautiful song and she said yes. And I was just I cannot even fathom. Like, what is he going to do to propose one day? If he's asking a girl out like that,
that's impressive.
It was I very impressed.
I've got the other side of that story. So this was when I was a sophomore in college. I was working at Horizon East Middle School in Moorhead, Minnesota. Shout out! I think they're Spuds. Go Spuds! and I was working in the AVID program as a tutor. And this was the day before Valentine's Day. So all of a sudden, these boys come in and they are just making fun of this kid. And it's their buddy. So it's all in good faith. So they're making fun of the buddy. And I'm like, guys, what's going on? Like, what's the deal? And they're like, Muhammad, tell him what happened. Tell him what happened. And his head's down. He goes, fine. I was like, all right, what happened? He goes, so there's this girl that I like. And I thought I had her locker. And I was going to ask her out. So I got her a bunch of flowers and I got her some chocolate and a card. And I put it in front of her locker. And I found out it was the wrong locker. And now some random girl got a note about me asking her out. And then they kept making fun of him. And they're like, also, what is tomorrow? And he goes, Valentine's Day. What did you think today was? Valentine's Day. So he got the day wrong and he got the girl's locker wrong. And I don't know how the story ends. I don't know if he made it right. I don't know if Mystery Locker C103 ended up asking him out. But I felt for this young man. It was a seventh grader and I felt for him. But you gotta learn.
I feel for that girl though. Can you imagine being like, oh my gosh, like this guy's super into me. And then being like, oh no, it was the wrong locker.
Like, no, that was for your friend. Like that would be miserable. Miserable.
That's so crushing. Oh my gosh.
Have you seen any dating fails as a high school teacher?
Oh, so many. So many. There was one kid we came one of the first days of school, I had them writing. I'm trying to remember what the prompt was specifically. I think I was having them write something with descriptive language or something like this, or tell me, describe a moment in summer that was really phenomenal or really impactful for you. And this boy stood up and read about his crazy ex-girlfriend who's such a psycho, who stalked him basically and was so obsessed with him. And the energy in the room was really weird when he was saying this. And I was like, what is happening? I'm hearing some snickers from the guys and some of the girls are just staring daggers at him. And I was like, is she in this room? And he's like, yep. And he sat down and I was like,
the balls.
Right. Right. But then the worst part was they spent the entire rest of the year flirting, asking to sit next to each other, trying to work something out. And I'm like, I am not supporting this. You guys are so toxic with each other. Absolutely not.
That's funny. See,
this is not happening.
I miss teaching high school for that reason. I miss being in the high school building for that. I legit was on a Netflix reality show that aired in October, a multi-million dollar Netflix show. And right. that drama on a Netflix show does not compare to the drama that goes on in schools between the relationships amongst the kids and the drama amongst staff members. Like,
oh, yeah.
it doesn't even touch it. Like, it was incredible. Like, and one of my favorite memories of my dad, well, I should say, it sounds like he died. He didn't die, but when he was my teacher, and I had anatomy with him, and my girlfriend in high school at the time was in that class, and he would let us pick our seats. So we sat next to each other. And what he does with every high school couple is he has the class discussion where he looks the couple in the face and he goes, listen, I know you two are dating now and you're sitting next to each other, but if you break up, this is awkward for every single one of us in the room. So if one of you are on the rocks, let me know and I will move your spots. And I was like, that's a great way to handle it. And yeah.
That is.
I ended up breaking up with that girlfriend for a short period of time in that class. And it was very awkward for everybody.
Yeah.
We got back together, which made it even more awkward. But it was just like that drama doesn't compare to what reality TV even has. It's its own reality show.
Yeah. How did your students react to that?
Oh, they made fun of me for it. Yeah,
oh, I bet they did.
See, and here's the thing about that. Andrew, here's the thing about reality TV. So I went into this reality show and I was like, I'm going to come in here swinging. Like, I'm going to be guns a-blazing. Like, and I said from the start, here's what I'm doing if I win. I am buying a Corvette and I'm donating to Native American kids in South Dakota. Those are my two goals. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm not going to say I want to do this and then not do it. Those are my two goals. And yeah. I was like, I'm going to try to win because I was like, I'm playing a game and right. I'm a psycho competitor. I'm an absolute psycho competitor. And one of my character flaws is I think everybody thinks the way that I do. So I thought everybody else was going into this game being like, we're all psycho competitors. Let's do this. So I went in as a freaking wrecking ball on this reality show and not everybody else is a psycho competitor like me. So my students got to see me be an absolute competitor on this. And they were like, yeah, like they'd come to class and be like, yeah, Mr. Danbring, you're kind of intense on that show. I was like, I was there to win. They're like, yeah, we got that. We got that.
That was very clear.
Very clear. Before the show came out, I was talking with one of the Netflix directors or PR people, whatever title they have. And we have this conversation usually a week before the show comes out. And I was talking to the guy. I was like, all right, so how did I look? And he goes, yeah, I think you'll come off looking pretty good. And I was like, all right, you think it's going to go good? He's like, yeah, you're going to come off as if you really wanted to win, but you're going to come off okay. And
oh, no.
Yeah, so it was funny. Like, the kids reacted to it pretty good. They made fun of me for everything. You know, there's no way.
Of course.
You can't breathe right when you're a middle school teacher. So they made fun of me for some stuff, but that was such a fun experience. And it was so fun, just the love from other people. And it was so cool. It was so cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so one of the things we do on the podcast is we ask or we get questions from the audience and then we can kind of try and take a stab at answering their questions. So the first question that we got is, what is the number one thing our country can do to recruit more teachers? Solve the teaching stuff. Just go. Ready? Oh, go.
Let's do it. Okay. us too. All right. So I spent a lot of time into thinking about this. So I put this into two different categories. What are things that we can do that will cost districts nearly $0? And what are mm-hmm. things that we can do that will ultimately cost money? So let's look at the one about costing money. So obviously teacher pay is always the first thing. But believe it or not, I think a lot of teachers are leaving the profession, not only because of the money, there's other things. It's not about the money. So I think that is one thing. I think the lack of support from families is another thing. I think if you could really, I would love to see a school try to do something like this, where they try to have as much parent involvement as possible, where they hold families accountable, hold kids accountable, hold teachers accountable, really have all of that together. I also think if you have more PTO for teachers, one of the things that is one of the biggest slaps in the face for me as a professional is getting told that I have 2 days of PTO to use. Like, that sucks.
Yeah.
Especially when you hear of other jobs that they have unlimited PTO. And it's so funny. like for me, like I grew up with a dad who's a teacher and a mom who has her own business. They never took days off. And I always thought every profession never takes days off. I didn't realize other professions have PTO until I was like in like the profession. And I remember talking to somebody, it was my first year teaching, and they're like, oh yeah, I get my 3 weeks of PTO. It's like, what? I was like, 3 weeks? I was like, I get 2 days. And they're like, what? Like, are you serious? So that's
one of
those
things. Allowed to be sick.
Yeah. It's like, having 2 days of PTO is crazy. Like give teachers flexibility. I think that would keep teachers in schools more. And then I actually have a list here of things that would cost schools $0. Like I made this list. It took me a second here to find it.
I love this. I'm so glad that we chose this question for you.
Yeah, this is really
You're
good.
So prepared.
As you can see, this is my TikTok idea list. So I've got this one runs deep. Things that wouldn't cost the districts a lot of money. More than 2 days of PTO. That really wouldn't cost a ton of money. What you could do is like a lot of districts, they say you have 9 sick days and 2 days of you can use whatever you want. Make them all one bank. Make it a bank. Say you're a professional. You can use these 10 days. First come, first serve on these days. And then you can have those conversations if you're consistently missing Fridays or Mondays or things like that. Next, teacher in-service days are 90% to 100% dedicated to classroom times. And then have teachers, if they need meetings, have them set the meetings on in-service days. Like I don't know how so many six-figure salaried admin keep making these decisions of like, hey, we're going to throw in some BS training. Like go on TikTok for 5 minutes, go on Facebook for 5 minutes and type in, what do teachers complain about? And then you'll quickly learn like, hey, let's do away with that. And I've heard some admins say the argument to that is, well, we don't trust our staff to use the time accordingly. Okay. Then address those 5 staff members who are wasting their time. Address those 5. Yeah. Don't make it a blanket policy for everybody. And then stop making teachers do stuff on the lunch break. Give a teacher a freaking lunch break. Bare minimum expectations in the workforce. Let them have a lunch break. Like, come on. Another one, have admins sub for multiple days in a row. I honestly think that would increase staff morale for a number of different ways. If you, it's not one off afternoon, have it be an admin is going to take 3 days in a row in a classroom, because then admin understand what's going on within their school. They have a refresher, and it's not like principals and assistant principals. They see it. They get it to an extent. The good ones get it. I'm talking the high level admin. Have them come in, because most of them haven't taught post COVID. Or like, just have them come in for a little bit. And then, now this might cost the district a little bit of money, but once a month, have a Friday afternoon or a Wednesday afternoon where the kids have a half day and teachers have the afternoon to take care of the bull crap they got to take care of. You can make those changes to dramatically increase teacher morale and have it so teachers are quitting less. I think those things could make a huge difference. What do you think?
I think so too.
What do you think? That's a big list.
I think you absolutely crushed it. Like, I think that just giving teachers the ability to take their time off. And I think that it shouldn't just be like district admin. It should also be the school board members who have to sub and do all of that. I mean, that would be, can you imagine if the decision makers were actually in the schools, or anyone who's involved with like decision making in the schools?
Do you know how many school board members have not spent a full day in a classroom
since they
were in school? Like it's crazy. That would be like the board of medical professionals not ever stepping foot in a hospital for an entire day. It's just
making all of those decisions for all of those practitioners, and they, you know, have been patients before, but have no actual experience practicing medicine.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, we'll just let the country know that we need to do those things, and we will have fixed the American education system.
And if it doesn't fix it, don't blame me. I'm just kidding. I'm just throwing things at the wall. We'll see if it sticks.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, before I let you go, can you share kind of what you're up to, where people can find you, any new projects?
Yeah. You can find me if you look up Gabe Dannenbring on all forms of social media, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. It's all on there. Just doing my normal content, you know, doing my normal content this spring. Have quite a few trips that are planned, either giving keynote speeches, talking about the state of education and things like that, and then doing some other stuff. So trying to think there as a teacher influencer creator, there's always so many things going on and you become used to it. So you're like, what is actually going on? I'm used to always running around like this. But yeah, check out my content and
plug the show?
Yeah, I was gonna say, check out Surviving Paradise. I come on episode 5. If you want to see me go full psycho wrecking ball, check it out, you guys. It's awesome. It's entertaining. What about you, Andrea? What do you got going? What do you want to plug?
Oh, you know, this I'm interviewing podcast is you. Probably the best. I know.
How you much know, do you just make a year after taxes?
let's just get it all out there. I'll also, you know, share my social security number, all of the pertinent things, all of that good stuff. I'm just hanging out with cool people on this podcast. That is the biggest thing I'm doing right now. So, nice. I love that you're doing keynote speeches and that, like, it's so clear that you are not just creating content online, but you're like passionately advocating for education in really substantive way, like having a list on your phone, like at the ready there. I'd like, that's really cool. So thank you so much for coming today and hanging out with us and sharing all of those fun stories.
Well, thank you for having me. Can I share with you one more story? This is so absolutely ironic. One more story. Yes. Nothing to do with teaching, all to do with podcast invitations. Okay. I spent 4 hours trying to deal with my Facebook business suite that manages my Instagram and my Facebook with all total about 500,000 followers on it. So it got hacked. I usually make fun of like my parents and older people for like falling for these dumb schemes. But here's what they did. They disguised themselves as a booking person for a podcast. Keep in mind, the podcast was real. It was a real podcast. And they were like, hey, like Jasmine wants you on the show. She's super excited to have you on. And then we go through like setting up the onboarding for the call. Because we were going to have the podcast tomorrow. And they're like, all right, we're going to do this via Facebook Live. That's why we're paying you for it. Because we want to have your Facebook followers watch this. And like, can you screen share with us so we can make sure that you have the events, Facebook events, access on your Facebook account. So I was like, yeah, this seems legit. All right. They then found a way to steal a link to then get into my business suite and logged me out and took out my ownership of my accounts for like 20 minutes. I lost all ownership. They had the ability to delete everything. So then today, as I'm getting ready for this podcast, I was like, am I getting scammed again? Like, am I an idiot? Am I going to do this 2 times in a week? Like, am I that freaking stupid? So I'm glad that you're not.
That it was actually me.
Yeah, it makes me feel really good. But these people are so freaking convincing. So I will never make fun of a boomer again for getting their Facebook hacked.
No, that happened to John Crist. I don't know if you know him. He's a comedian. Yeah, that happened to his Facebook and he was locked out for a week. And he lost like hundreds of thousands of followers.
It's so scary.
So it's not just you.
Good.
Like it's happened to like a lot of people because it does seem like super legit when it comes through.
All these 85-year-old grandmas has had it too. That makes me feel better.
But no.
They even use the right terminology. They were like, oh yeah, here are the deliverables for the podcast and all. Like, I got hoodwinked.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome for not stealing your identity or your socials.
Identity theft is not a joke, Jim. Okay.
Oh my gosh. All right. On that note, I'm going to let you go and we will be right back.
I'm glad you're real. Goodbye.
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed chatting with Gabe as much as I did. That was so hilarious hearing all about the chaotic things that he experienced in the classroom and how weirdly parallel some of our experiences were with meth addicts in our schools and singing and all of just the things that make a classroom, you know, like it is exactly that chaos and those kinds of memories that make it so freaking fun to wrap up a school year with a group of students. I have not yet watched Surviving Paradise, but now I really want to see what kind of cutthroat things, because I feel like maybe he's He's saying that he was just really competitive, but now my curiosity is sparked. So I'm for sure going to be checking out Surviving Paradise. So I wanted to make sure, even though, you know, we already finished chatting with Gabe today, I wanted to make sure that we did not miss what your students are doing. So I asked this past week what your students were up to. And this one, the first one to me is just such a classic one. Like, I have had variations of this done to me, where apparently in one of the classes, the students took a picture they found of their teacher's dad and made it their cell phone background, which is like, that is so typical. I still remember vividly when I was in high school, we knew some of our teachers had attended the school that we were at. And so we went into the library and we found the old yearbook photos of our teachers and we printed them out and we blew them up and we would just like hide them around the school just to troll our teachers, essentially. And now kids have like access to the internet, so it's so much easier for them to find content like that, which, you know, is a good reminder to check what happens when, you know, you Google your name, because they will for sure 100% Google your name. The second one was, as an English teacher, I had to include this one because teaching MLA was the absolute bane of my existence, trying to get students to format. And then I fully paid my penance getting my doctorate and having to suddenly learn APA and do all sorts of absurd formatting and citing. But apparently a student said, why do we have to use MLA and we can't just say shout out to the boys on collegeboard.org? Which is just, I can so hear them saying that, like, with my whole heart. And I do remember when I was working on my doctorate, I kept thinking, like, why can't I just say shout out to the boys at Purdue Owl? You know, because that is what I lived and breathed on during my entire time in college. So I absolutely love hearing your stories every week. And if you have something chaotic that happened in your class this week and you want me to read about it or share it on here, you can absolutely reach out to me at Andrea@human-content.com or at educatorandrea.com. You know, every Friday I do the What Are Those Kids Doing tag, and then I try and share some on there, and then I keep a couple back so that we have something a little bit fresh to share here. You can also kick it with us on our Human Content Podcast family page on Instagram and TikTok @HumanContentPods. This is a new podcast, so thank you guys so much for tuning in and leaving your reviews and comments and reaching out. I really appreciate it. It helps me and the team just make a better podcast for you. And if you would like a shout out, make sure to leave your review on your favorite podcasting app. You can get full video episodes every week on YouTube @EducatorAndrea. I'm your host, Andrea Forkham, and a very special thanks to our guest, Gabe Dannenbring. Our executive producers are Andrea Forkham, Aaron Corney, Rob Goldman, and Shanti Brooke. Our editor is Andrew Sims. Our engineer is Jason Pertizzo. Our music is by Omer Bensby. Our recording location is the Indiana State by College of Education. To learn more about Those Who Can't Do's program disclosure and ethics policy and submission verification and licensing terms, you can go to podcasterandrea.com. Those Who Can't Do is a Human Content production.